Rob Shortell. I'm from Rutgers University, Department of Plant Biology and Pathology. And today I'm going to talk to you about some of my dissertation work that we're doing out there in New Jersey. And it's the genetic variation in rooting ability of Kentucky bluegrass cultivars and selections under heat stress. So without further ado, I'll take you right into the intro. Now, Kentucky bluegrass is really a premier species for high-quality turf just about anywhere you'd like to grow it in its adaptability range. One of the reasons Poa persensis is just so popular is because, you know, there's many cultivars and they're all highly variable. So chances are there's going to be a Kentucky bluegrass species for your niche. One thing about Kentucky bluegrass, it is a cool season grass, so it undergoes C3 metabolism. So by nature, Kentucky bluegrass is really going to suffer from heat stress during the summertime in many of the locations where it's grown. Now, roots are essential to plant life, and Kentucky bluegrass is no exception. Now, roots are going to function to absorb water and nutrients. They're also going to anchor the plant to the ground, so, you know, you can traffic it and play sports on it and stuff like that. Now, just general heat stress has a tendency to reduce canopy photosynthesis, so there's going to be less energy available for the plant to grow and actively maintain a high quality. Now, optimum soil temperatures for root growth in bluegrass, anyway, ranges from 15 to 23 degrees. Anything over that, we start to see unacceptable root elongation. We see a hastening of maturation and then just a decline in the overall root system and its function. Now, KB roots are restricted at 32 degrees C. We found this in the literature and then some preliminary work in the grow chamber. It showed that was true. Now, Kentucky bluegrass, it's a rhizomatous species, so it can form a nice, dense, a carpet-like thing where you could roll it up, you could take it somewhere, you could cut it off, and it has very slow establishment from seeds, so this makes it a prime species to use as a sod or to grow sod with. Now, for sod production, any species we want to use, we're going to need to regrow the roots we cut off in order to live and form a high-quality turf. Now, this successful establishment of this turf is often limited by heat stress in the summertime. And then to make matters even worse, Kentucky bluegrass is not necessarily even growing roots in the summertime. Here's a picture from Dr. Turgeon's book, Turf Grass Management. And you'll see here on the top section, figure A, this is the summertime, the time we're interested in anyway. And you'll notice that there's an overall decline in root growth. And to make the problem here is that this is when everybody wants a high quality turf. It's right in the summer when everything's green. You want to look around. So we have two main objectives to this study. One is just to quantify the extent of variability for root growth under heat stress in Kentucky bluegrass. And two is to identify Kentucky bluegrass cultivars and selections that may be better adapted to successfully establish from sod. So what we did to accomplish this goal is we picked 27 Kentucky bluegrass cultivars and selections and tried to be representative of the types that are available out there today. You'll see here we have some compact Americas, compact Midnights, compact types, Mid-Atlantics, a few other types. We have some of the Texas by Kentucky bluegrass hybrids, Shamrock types, the old staple Baron, and then we threw in a few experimental selections that we just wanted to evaluate and see how they did. And all of these samples were taken from four-year-old Kentucky bluegrass cultivar trials at Adelphia, New Jersey. So what we did, we conducted two independent runs in the summer of 2007. Experiment 1 started July 1st and ran until August 15th. Experiment 2 started August 1st and ran until September 15th. Each one of these studies had a six-week runtime. We took all of our samples with a 10-centimeter cup cutter, like for the golf course holes, and then we cut our roots 2 centimeters below the thatch to soil interface. Then we took all of our samples, our little sod circles, up to North Brunswick where we have poor air circulation, high temperature stress, and full sun. Now, from some preliminary studies in 2006, we realized the need for just uniformity in the pots. So that brought us to, we actually had to weigh out each pot so that we knew the same amount of mix was in each pot. So each one got 4.2 kilograms of a 3-to-1 sand, sterilized sand to soil mix. These are 36 centimeter deep pots, 10 centimeters wide, and then through the entire course of the study, we kept them well watered so that we didn't see any confounding effects from drought stress. We had three root harvest timings, and these are destructive timings, at 2, 4, and 6 weeks. And then what we did to, just so we get a better picture of what's really going on in the pots, is we broke down these pots into layers at the harvest date, and we took them in 7 centimeter layers for the surface or the sod circle, the first 0 to 7, 7 to 14, and so on. Finally, the deepest one was 28 to 35. And of these destructive timings, there were 3 replications per timing. Now, there is a significant amount of intraspecific variability in the rooting ability of Kentucky bluegrass under heat stress. Some of the samples we evaluated, H9830, Monte Carlo, and Cabernet, they quickly produce roots. Barron, P105, and Diva were very slow to produce roots. We used the general linear model of the SAS Institute, Perry, North Carolina, to separate the data. You'll notice here we do have some pretty strong genetic effects, and we also had a strong run effect. So from here on out, we're going to present the results as separate experiments. These are the air temperatures from the first experiment, July 1st, 2007 to August 15th. Along your y-axis, you'll see temperature. Along your x-axis, you're going to see the days of the run. You'll notice here we have our cutting. This is when we cut the root off, 2-week harvest, 4-week harvest, and 6-week harvest. And one thing I do want to point out from this graph is this dip in temperatures. We had a cut, which we were initially above optimum temperatures, but then we dipped down into more optimum temperatures for cool season grass growth. But overall, our average was hot. Now, when you look at the results from the first run of the experiment here, you'll see we have, by week 2, all cultivars and selections produced some sort of roots in the 0 to 7 centimeter layer. You'll notice here by week 4, we do start to see cultivar separation where some are better than others. This one right here is H9830, one of our experimentals that's doing particularly well in this study. But you'll notice the close runner-up is Bandera, a Texas bluegrass hybrid, and Cabernet, a mid-Atlantic type. Some of our more poor rooters we have on the bottom here is Barron, or a BVMG type, and a compact type, Diva. Now from the second experiment in 2007, you'll see here the graph's the same as the first temperature graph, temperature days of the experiment, cut 2, 4, and 6 week timings. But you'll see when we cut these plants, we were well above optimum for any root growth, and the temperature actually increased for a few days. So that got me a little scared, but it was good for the overall study. We did have a dip down here in the between the 2 and 4 week timing, but I'll get to that. Now you'll see here in experiment 2, you'll notice even though that we do have good cultivar separation, your main trends are the same, but we have a twofold decrease in rooting. We contribute that to the initial heat stress at the cut day. So if you are going to be cutting and laying sod, don't do it over 35 degrees C. But once again, by 2 weeks, all cultivars had roots in the 0 to 7 centimeter layer. By four weeks again, we have separation. Once again, H9830 is one of our bests. Close runner-up is Cabernet. We had Mercury, which did well in the second experiment, and then followed by a Texas bluegrass hybrid and a compact America type. Once again, some of the poorer types were the BVMGs and the compact types. Now, we also picked up another anomaly. One of the good things about looking at the layers is we saw some different things that I would have never picked up without the layers. Just let me explain my figure to you. This is the first experiment in 2007 at the 2 week timing right here. You'll notice weights going down here. If you use the lowercase letters, you could compare these numbers. You can compare these numbers down the pot. The uppercase letters, you could compare layers across the pot. And then these italic letters, you could compare root weight totals. So you'll see at the 2 week timing, Cabernet, one of our mid-Atlantic types, actually has more root growth than Bandera, a Texas by Kentucky bluegrass hybrid. It does have statistically more roots. But in these early timings, we're dealing with very few roots. So let's move on. Now by week four, we see two strategies develop. You'll notice Cabernet seems to be doing less roots per layer, but it's trying to access water deeper into the profile, all the way down here. So we're getting a few long roots. With Bandera, now there's still significantly more roots with Cabernet, but you'll see in Bandera, Bandera's starting to catch up. You'll notice in this top layer, there is more roots than in Cabernet's top layer. And the same with the second layer, the 7 to 14 centimeter depth. So there are almost two different strategies to regrowing your roots. By week six, you'll notice that this is the completion, the final cut date. Now you'll notice that statistically, they have the same amount of roots. But Cabernet has its roots loosely scattered throughout the whole pot, and Bandera has its roots densely packed per layer. So there are two different types of strategies. Here's some pictures of the actual root differences. This is the four-week timing of the second experiment, P105, H9830, and there's just way more roots on H9830 than P105. So in conclusion, Kentucky bluegrass shows variation in rooting ability under heat stress. By week two, all cultivars and selections have roots in the 0 to 7 centimeter layer. By week four, cultivars and selections begin to separate, with mid-Atlantic types and Texas by Kentucky bluegrass hybrids showing better rooting than compact types or BVMG types in all cases. By week six, deeper rooted cultivars may be able to tolerate less frequent irrigation. And then we've picked up another conclusion with root morphology. We seem to have two different strategies. One are steady rooters that slowly grow roots, but densely right down the pot from top to bottom, like Bandera, Midnight, and Bedazzled. And then we have a deep rooting category, mainly our mid-Atlantic types, that seem to shoot a few roots down to the bottom and then loosely colonize after that. And then we have another category that doesn't quite fit. We like to call them root monsters. And now these are the cultivar ends and selections that just don't fit any pattern. They seem to be doing both strategies, and they just have significantly more roots in all cases. I would like to thank the Center for Rutgers Center for Turfgrass Science, the New Jersey Agricultural Experiment Station, and of course our department. So if there's time, I'd be happy to take some questions.
We have time for questions.